This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dale, and welcome to the Christian War Room. Today we have got a little bit of a different talk. Little break from our talk on evolution. We're going to carry on with this as well. There's a lot of stuff happening. There's a lot of stuff happening in this world. And I thought it is time for the Christian War Room to get active and to take a small diversion of what is going on in this world. And I'm not sure when you're listening to this. When this talk is recorded, I need to give you a timeline so you can relate to this and we can see, you know, what is going on in this world. And this world is just going from bad to worse. Now, the date is May 2018, so that's when this talk is recorded. And a couple of things which have happened. And the first thing is about Southern Ireland. Southern Ireland. Now, I remember a few years ago, there was a big election in Southern Ireland. It wasn't an election, it was... what do you call it? I can't think of the term now. Anyway, the people decided, the people had a vote. And it's not just in Parliament, but the whole people. And I'm looking for a word and I can't find it. But anyway, it'll come to me in a minute. And the vote was about whether gay marriage is okay or not. You know, whether the Irish Parliament should allow gay marriage to go through. And again, I mean, it's a very contentious point. Now, from a biblical point of view, I have to say it's just a joke. Yeah, there's a very clear definition of what marriage is. And marriage is between a man and a woman. It's between Adam and Eve, and not Adam and Steve. To use this phrase, which I think has been probably used too often now, and it's not that new or possibly funny anymore. But then the other thing as well is when you look at it historically, it's just been totally unheard of. You know, nowhere in history has this been happening, and now it seems to be almost like an explosion in the Western world that gay marriage is pushed all over the place. So I remember with Obama as well that he was Uganda. Obviously, they have got a different attitude towards it. They are a fairly strong Christian nation. If you ever go to Uganda, there's a very strong Christian ethos. There's a lot of Christian activity, and people take it seriously. And again, I mean, I've been to Uganda many times, and when you go to Uganda, you get the impression you're either in hell or in paradise. And it's literally, it's like light and darkness next to one another. You move 100 yards and you are on some person who has made a covenant with the devil and is heavily into the occult. And then you go a few yards further on and you are on the land of a person who worships God, yeah, and probably worships God in a manner which in the West we are not used to, where people literally pray for days on end for an issue if they're... if they feel that is required for them to do so. And you can sense this. You can sense this when you're out there. Now, in Uganda, they made the decision that if somebody's openly gay, he goes to prison. And the penalties are quite draconian. We got Barack Obama at the time, making a big fuss about it. And trying to threaten them by withholding support and money to the nation of Uganda because of this law, unless they change this law. And the same was from the European Union as well. Very, very strange, you know, that suddenly this becomes an issue. Now, we are not talking about huge numbers of people. We are talking about a very, very small number of people, probably around about a percentage point, and yet all the laws and everything has to be changed to accommodate the desires of a minority, which is also interesting as well. There was a civil partnership and all that, which and they weren't in England, for example, they weren't really asking for it. And yet the politicians felt that they had to push this through to make a name for themselves, and, you know, saw this as something really positive and great. Okay, going back to Ireland. Ireland is Southern Ireland is a very interesting place, in a sense, in a way. It's a Catholic country, predominantly Catholic, and it's never really been touched by the Reformation. And obviously you've heard about Northern Ireland and about all the troubles which are there. But it's a different story. In Northern Ireland, there are a lot of settlers from the British mainland, and they pretty much make up the Protestant the Protestant population of Northern Ireland. Southern Ireland, predominantly Catholic, has always been very much controlled by the Catholic Church, and yet, yeah, and the values as well. And until a few years ago, divorce wasn't possible in Southern Ireland. Obviously, very traditional values were maintained and kept up. And it seems that the church has completely lost it. Now, as a former Catholic, as an ex-Catholic, I'm not a friend of Rome. But I respect Rome for the things which are okay. And one of which is, you know, trying to push high moral values, which again seems to be a bit different these days with this new pope, but which, amongst other things, are, you know, marriage for life, including big no-no for abortion. I mean, the concept of homosexual marriage is completely out from a Catholic perspective. And again, I respect what the church does in those areas. So there's a very strong. Obviously, things go wrong, and I'm sure you're aware of all the scandals within Rome. And as I mentioned before, I'm not a friend of Rome, but I do respect them for the stuff they do right and the stuff that is okay, and for making a stand for things which are good. And Ireland pretty much followed suit with all of this. Yeah, and in a way, you know, it was possible. And one of the thing which really shocked me is that the population has completely abandoned the heritage in Southern Ireland. That suddenly the referendum on gay marriage went positive, and Ireland decided to legalize gay marriage. Yeah. And again, from a Christian perspective, it's quite horrendous, to equalize one with the other. But again, I mean, as Christians, we are a minority, and we have to consider that that obviously decisions are made in the world which do not conform to the Word of God, which do not conform to the Bible. We have to expect this, and it goes even further. You know, me saying these things in certain countries can create some problems as well, and freedom of speech is no longer allowed. We are a little bit there where the Islamic countries are. You've got freedom of speech as long as you say everything positive about Islam. If you say anything controversial about Islam, then your freedom of speech ends, and that's pretty much what's happening in the West as well now, that our freedom of speech is getting more and more infringed over time. But anyway, the Bible has got a clear position, and that's what I stand behind. Before I go any further, it's nothing to do with the group of people, the individuals. I welcome you guys to come to church, to come to Christ. I welcome you guys to come to us, yeah, as a church, and to seek God with us, yeah. And again, we are all sinners, and the Bible said in Corinthians is very clear that the many of those who were there, you know, this is what Paul says, there were homosexuals in Corinth, and they came to Christ, and there's an open door for everybody. God loves us all, regardless of what sin we have committed. There's forgiveness, there's restoration, and there's a future, you know, in line of what God has got in store for us. And that is very, very important to sort of understand and to realize this. Now, what's happening in Ireland now is it's gone the other way as well. Ireland was one of the countries, Southern Ireland, where abortion wasn't possible. And it didn't really make that much of a difference for many years, because if women wanted to get an abortion, they just hopped on a plane and went to England. And I think until recently it was free as well. It was paid for by the National Health Service. And then it all changed. You know? And now they had a big referendum on this as well. And it seems that 68%, and it's not, you know, a yes to abortion, but it's a change to the law which will eventually allow abortion, you know, pretty much for any reason to take place. Right, and this is an horrendous thing. I understand, you know, where these people are coming from, and you know, if it's a big thing when people get a baby, and it's a life-changing decision, and maybe sometimes it doesn't fit into whatever the lifestyle is, but what people forget is that there's a fully fledged human being in that lady's belly. And that is one of the things nobody considers a right to life for the baby. And to be fair, it wasn't the baby's decision that that it was conceived. The baby is there. Yeah? And have you got the right to terminate this life? And the answer is clearly no, you don't. You cannot deliberately terminate this life, even if it is not, you know, in the best phase of one's life and the baby is coming, even if it is not the best idea. But, sorry for that. But Ireland has voted. 60-odd% of the population, I'm not quite sure what the turnout was. I think the turnout was about 60%. So a lot of people didn't go to the polls to vote in this referendum. But of those who went, 68% decided. And I think those were the figures, or the last figures I heard, that this law needs to be changed so that abortion is possible and legal. Okay, this is where we are in this world today. This is where we are in this world. This is how things have gone very, very wrong. And this is how the West has heaped guilt upon itself in an incredible measure. Yeah. So it starts off with promoting promiscuity. Yeah, and not making a big fuss about it. And I sort of remember when I was a kid, the promiscuity was a problem, a big problem. Socially, it wasn't accepted. A little bit before my time, there were legal things as well. So there was, I know in Germany, there was a law, and I would have to go into this. But if you allowed, you know, somebody who's not married to sleep in your house, you kind of broke the law, like to, you know, have relationships in your house, and they weren't married, you were breaking the law and potentially would be in trouble. I'm not aware that it's ever been prosecuted, but there was still a statement to say this is wrong, and there was an official statement. And obviously that's all been eroded bit by bit by bit, and today we are in a position where marriage is being completely redefined. And it's no longer the union between man and a woman. We don't even know what a man and a woman is anymore. I was going through this recently. I was putting some stuff together for a friend of mine in Uganda for a Bible course. And we were looking at the definition of man. And we were also looking at what has happened in our day and age. And that that there are, I think, what are there now? 67 genders. So some liberals came up with some crazy idea. There are 67 genders. I think I've heard some stuff that Facebook has got a whole range of different genders you can choose from. I'm not quite sure whether this is true or not, but and I'm not sure how real the 67 gender thing is. But I had a look at the list, and there was pretty much anything in there. Any sexual perversion you could possibly think of was in there. Any self-mutilation and mutilation was in there as well. So you could be defined by all sorts of stuff. Now, the biggest problem is in all of this is one of identity, that people try to impose on us an identity which is based on sometimes a sinful lifestyle, or lifestyle that according to the Bible is considered to be not right. Yeah. And that suddenly becomes your identity, and that is what you are. This is what this world is trying to impress on you. Now, if you are listening to this, and this is a Christian war room, you know, don't believe what the secular people are trying to tell you. Don't believe this, and don't follow suit with this. And I need to warn, you know, Christians and non-Christians alike, your identity is not your sexuality. Your identity is not a misunderstanding of your gender. Your identity is not any behavior. Your identity is you. Yeah. We are all fallen creatures. We are all struggling with sin. Yeah. And let me use this ugly term, this very negative term. But we are all struggling with it, and it's a damnable reality in all of our lives. And we need forgiveness. We need to reach out to Christ to be washed clean from all the filth that's attached to us, to find some sort of freedom in approaching God, and also some sort of freedom in just living our lives, where we are no longer controlled by sinful desires and by, the Bible uses the term, the flesh, and whatever this may result. And for some people it may be greed, for others it may be sexual perversion of some sort or another, for others it may be some sort of bad religious stuff, bad spirituality, a draw towards the occult, something like that. I don't know what it is, but it can be a whole variety of bad stuff that's out there and that it's drawing us into. So we need to bear this in mind. So I just want to two things here with this talk. Well, number one is let me use this scripture. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world." Do not be conformed to this system which is in this world, and stay away from it. You know, seek your basis and your standard for good living in the Word of God. Don't seek it in this world. You know, people preach tolerance. People preach, you know, the Holy Grail at the moment is diversity, and the problem is how would I say this? I mean, the Bible is very clear. Yeah? The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself, love your enemies, you know. Love those who curse you, love those who hate you. Yeah? That is our call. And I'm standing here, and probably people would construe some of the stuff I've said as hate speech, because I'm saying that certain behaviors people practice is not right before God. And they would construe this as hate speech, but the Bible teaches to love these guys, yeah? and girls. To just love him, yeah. To love him as God loves him. To love your enemies. To love those who curse you, those who revile you, and that is really the message in the Bible. Yeah. What the world tells us is, oh no! We need to embrace diversity. We need to celebrate bad behavior. We need to celebrate people doing wrong stuff. We need to celebrate people destroying themselves, you know, through booking themselves in to mutilate their bodies. And to turn their bodies into something it isn't. Yeah. That is pretty much what the world is telling us what we need to do. But if I really love people, and I know what's good for them, then I have to tell them the truth. Jesus says that the truth will set you free. And the truth is, if you are going against the standards God lays down, you are ultimately destroying, you are alienating yourself from God, and you are destroying yourself in the course of doing so. You will not find happiness, you will not find peace, and I can guarantee you this, that, and I know people who pursue this lifestyle, as they are pursuing this lifestyle, it doesn't lead to satisfaction, it doesn't lead to peace, it doesn't lead to an understanding of you know, being tranquil or something like that. On the contrary, it leads to discord, it leads to depression, it leads to self-loathing and suicidal thoughts, and that is a reality. And if I love people, I will tell him that. Yeah, I will tell him that. Okay, there's another thing as well, and I want to put this up. I you know, just mentioned this here in the war room, the Christian war room. I think it's very, very important to look at this, and it's pretty much the times of the signs, what's going on here. One of the things which I see, and I hear this in the news very often, you know, today, a guy in Belgium, he shot some police officers, and a third person got killed as well. That's in Belgium. He was crying out Allahu Akbar, and then the news report said that he was neutralized, this guy. in Stockport, that's not far from where I live here in England, somebody took a car and ran into a crowd of people. Nobody says whether it was what today they say terrorist related, or it was, I would say, religiously motivated. No idea. Might just be somebody has lost it and somebody has done it. So that is quite horrendous. You know, what is going on? A few days ago, there was a school shooting in the States, and, you know, a 17-year-old handed himself in. And there's a lot of violence is taking place. A lot of violence is happening. And I was listening today to some profilers and some psychologists. And again, you know, there's not much you can read into this, and it's not biblical in any way or whatever, but I thought it was quite interesting. And he said that they're, you know, for murderers and people who kill, that there are sort of 22 levels which they have identified of evil. 22 levels of evil. So there's like a scale from, you know, being a little bit evil and losing it or whatever, to being downright evil, rotten, and, you know, without everything. Now, the great message is, you know, even if you are on level 22, there's still hope for you as long as you are breathing. As long as you are here on this side of death, there's redemption for you. And you can come to Christ to be redeemed from this evil, yeah, from this evil. But also, I mean, one thing which came out of this talk by this psychologist and by this profiler, and that was quite interesting, that a lot of people, they get into a situation, and this is sort of not the highest level, but the lower levels of evil. They get into a situation where they get irritated by people, they get attacked by people, they get bullied, and then suddenly they just lose it. You know, the fuse goes, and they're there to take revenge, and then sometimes they get hold of a gun and they start shooting people and they end up on death row. He said there was one big thing which was a big thing, and that is that they just couldn't forgive. They just couldn't forgive. And I want to sort of dwell on this point a little bit, and this is real Christian warfare. Forgiveness is very important. When I look at the Lord's Prayer, and it says in there that you know, that you pray to the Father to forgive us as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And there's a measure there as well, and maybe we shouldn't pray this, yeah. But Jesus told us to pray this prayer. And it just sort of highlights how important forgiveness is. I know that it is very, very hard, especially when people, you know, go against you, and to forgive them, to really, really forgive them. But it's very, very important. If you don't forgive them, then you might be one of those guys on death row. And it's interesting. There was one of these psychologists. He was interviewing just a lot of these guys on death row, and most of them, they were okay. They weren't bad people, you know, on the surface. You know the story, and you know what they have done. And some of them have killed about 4, 5, 6, 7 people. Some of them were just mentally disturbed. Some of them went into drugs. Some of them, they were bullied, and some of them couldn't forgive themselves. Some of them couldn't forgive others. And that is what caused them to do those heinous crimes. And at the end of it, people are dead right, left, and center. And a lot of people are suffering, you know, because of what has happened. And I want to just encourage you to just pray for those people who do harm to you. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who bully you. Pray for those who hate you. And I know it's hard. It's hard. I had in my last job, there were a couple of people, and they had it in for me. They really had it in for me. They were just looking for anything to try and turn me down, and maybe I'm paranoid. I don't think I am. I had people screaming at me for not doing anything wrong, yeah. It's just really strange, really, really strange, and it was hard. It was hard. Yeah, there's in Proverbs it says, you know, stone is heavy and sand is a burden, but the provocation of a fool, who can bear? Yeah, and sometimes you get those fools. And they are right on your skin, and they're trying to get under it. Again, stone is a burden. Stone is heavy, sand is a burden, but the provocation of a fool, who can bear? You can find it in Proverbs. And that's sometimes what I had, you know, the provocation of a fool. Foolish people, you know, put in a position of power and giving me a phenomenal amount of grief. Yeah, do everything right, they say everything is wrong. And it's difficult. And you could see there was some, I think there was some spiritual component there. I'm not convinced, you know, that, how should I say, I haven't got any evidence, but for some of them I thought, you know, they were well in with the other side, spiritually. And who knows, you know, those forces were prodding them maybe to do this stuff. So now it's probably not even them, it's just whatever forces are behind them. But it's hard, it's really, really hard, and you need to forgive them. And it's hard, so... My experience is sometimes the best way to do it is to just pray for these people, to pray for them, to pray for them. Just hand them over to God. God says, revenge is mine, but also to forgive them for what they have done to you and not to count it against them. And as you go to life, you know, this is what's going to happen. You're going to hit these problems all the time. You will hit these problems all the time in your life, where you will get people who will just hate you for no reason whatsoever. People who will misconstrue whatever you said, whatever you have done, and people who will cause damage to you. And you need to forgive them so that you will be forgiven. It's very, very important. And if you don't, it's just going to eat away at you. And sometimes you end up like those young lads, you know, who can't take it anymore because they've been bullied, they've been ostracized and sort of being put at the edge, and they thought, right, that's it, this is our day of revenge. And they go in there with a gun and start going on a killing spree. And the suffering is just incredible. Probably if they realized what they were doing, they would reconsider it, and they wouldn't go for it, and maybe it would never happen. And it's interesting as well, we are heading towards the end, you know, and I think the activity of evil on this planet is getting more and more. I got a feeling, and I don't know how correct I am, that there was a bit of a break for a few years, and now it's coming back again. It's coming back in big strides. And again, my friends, I just encourage you to look out for the Lord's coming. Lift up your heads and inspect the return of our Savior, if you are a Christian. If you're not a Christian, I would encourage you not to mess about anymore, but to come to Christ today, to surrender your life to Jesus. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and it's time now to call upon the name of the Lord. I don't believe in a formula, you know, you can say and pray, you know, to come to Christ. I don't think that's a way, but what you do is you just call upon the name of Jesus. And then you come to the next point and you ask him, Lord, what do I need to do to be saved? And God is going to show you. God is going to lead you into repentance and into a renewal. And he will lead you to be born of water and spirit, you know, to be born again. And that is something that will happen inside of you. And it's going to be the greatest thing you will ever experience when this takes place. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I want to pray, Father, for Ireland. I pray, Lord, that you will send a revival through this nation, Lord. Lord, those decisions which have been made are horrible. I pray, Father, if there's any chance of reversing them, that they can be reversed and that Ireland will return back to its roots of being God-fearing and fearing God. I pray, Lord, for our enemies, Lord, that you will help us to forgive where we need to forgive, that you will remind us to pray for our enemies where we need to pray for them, and that you will lead us to peace, and that you will, Lord, lead our enemies into the knowledge of the living Savior, of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.